Let's continue now our worship service with the reading of the scriptures from Mark chapter 3, Mark chapter 3, verses 28 through 35. Continuing in our study in the book of Mark, let us hear the word of God. Assuredly, I say unto you, all sins will be forgiven the sons of man, and whatever blasphemies they may utter. But he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness and is subject to eternal condemnation, because they said he has an unclean spirit. Then his brothers and his mother came, and standing outside they said to him, calling him. And a multitude was sitting around Christ, and they said to him, look, your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you. But he answered them, saying, who is my mother or my brother? And he looked around in a circle at those who sat about him and said, here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and mother. Thus far ends the reading of God's word. Please be seated. This morning, as we look at this particular section of God's word, as we've been doing this study in Mark, we've come to this point in our study. I would like us to consider this section under the title, The Family of the Lord Jesus. The Family of the Lord Jesus. We speak of families and family ties. And we readily understand that when we talk about such things, we have an idea that family means that I belong to someone. I belong to somebody else who has common interests and cares about me. To be part of a family that knows you and cares about you, is a wonderful blessing that most of us enjoy. But you have to take the good with the bad, too. Families are not always harmonious. Sometimes there can be members of a family who are angry at one another or bitter. They can be very petty towards one another. Even cruel words can be exchanged between members of the same family. But while there is tension that can exist between members of a family on occasion, there can also be moments of profound empathy and comfort expressed within families, even those who are fighting among themselves. Sometimes totally unexpected things happen that bring families together with incredible results. During the days I spent in Dallas recently, while I was waiting in the intensive care area to see Matt, my son, I've had a lot to think about. And it seems that a lot of my thoughts have focused on families. I was able to see families in action as they confronted crisis. Even as I was writing this sermon, I had spoken to a lady named Camille, whose husband, Bob, had just come through quadruple bypass surgery. I had a divinely provided glorious time of fellowship in Christ with this lady. A lady who I had never met before. But since she so clearly had declared her faith in Christ to me, I felt like I knew this lady all my life. Indeed, I do know her. Because, you see, we're all part of the same family. Jesus' family. There was other families in the waiting room. There was one family that was there because the 70-year-old father had just suffered a severe stroke. His wife was there worried. She was conversing with another worried sister. The men's daughters were there, and their husbands, and the man's teenage grandchildren were there. Quite an extended group were gathered. Here was another family drawn together by one man's suffering, sharing common ties in a troubled time. And yet, there was no clear evidence of any Christian involvement, and I didn't feel like I knew them. They were drawn by one reality. They were family. A human family. In the text which is before us this morning, the matter of the text really centers on whether you belong or not to Christ's family. On the one hand, we see a group of people called the scribes and the Pharisees who have said that Jesus heals and casts out demons by Beelzebub. That's one family. But on the other hand, we see the human family of Christ coming to speak with Jesus. And Christ uses the occasion of the Pharisees' blasphemy, plus the visit of his family, he uses both of them to put before us the matter of who belongs to Christ's family. Who doesn't, first of all, belong to Christ's family? There's a group of people who are identified as such. They are said to be those who have, in the language of verse 29, blasphemed against the Holy Spirit. Blasphemed against the Holy Spirit. This is a sin that is so heinous that it cannot be forgiven. It cannot be forgiven. A sin that on the part of the one who commits it, that person is said to be in danger of eternal damnation in verse 29. We can surely conclude that someone who cannot be forgiven and someone who has committed the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, that taking those two things together, we can certainly conclude that that person is not a member of Christ's family and isn't ever going to be a member of Christ's family. Such people will never be able to experience the sweet communion of fellowship with the Lord. Never be able to go to Him in times of trial and trouble and cry out, "Abba, Father, help me." Such people cannot go 1,500 miles away from home and find another person with like precious saving faith in Christ. They cannot go and find common Christian faith and witness. The Pharisees can never be certain that they belong with anybody, even with members of their own family. They never have any sense of family support or comfort in this life. theirs is a family more given to hatred than a family given to support and encouragement. There is a family there that exists, a family of the blackness of the heart, dominated and controlled by sin, a heart that will take the name of the Lord God in vain and attribute to Jesus and all of His mercies the healing power, supposedly, of Satan. If they will do that with Jesus, they will do that with their friends too. What is this blasphemy of the Holy Spirit? That it disqualifies the person that commits it from ever belonging to Christ's family. What could it be? We don't have to speculate. We don't have to pull something out of the air or wish for divine lightning bolt to strike us from the sky and reveal some sort of hidden truth. It's right here on the pages of the text. Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit occurs when those who do it say that Christ has an unclean spirit, when they say that Christ has Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils he casts out devils. Christ clearly says that those who have done so, have said this, have committed blasphemy. Verse 30. Here is a family of people who blaspheme Jesus and blaspheme the Holy Spirit. These are not ordinary people who had no contact with Christ. These are people who had either seen or heard of the magnificence of His repeated healings and cleansings. Lepers healed, blind men healed, men paralyzed healed. These are people who have seen the truth displayed before their eyes and ears, and they attribute to Jesus the work of the devil. That is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, pure and simple. And those who hold to that kind of black thinking and black speech, motivated and dominated by the evil heart, Jesus says they can never be part of my family. Sadly, but surely, such blasphemers can never belong to Christ. Their sin can never be forgiven. But there's another family here, too. There's a different family also being spoken about. Who is it that can belong to Christ's family? The answer to that question might really surprise you. Look at what Jesus says in verse 28. Verily I say to you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of man, and blasphemies wherewith soever they shall blaspheme. Jesus begins his statement with the word verily, which means he is saying, here is a truth. Here is something true. Here is an eternal truth. All sins, all blasphemies uttered by men can be forgiven, but one. Can you hear that? All sins, all unrighteousness, all blasphemy, but one. You see, those who belong to Jesus' family are simply former sinners, redeemed by Jesus. But by the grace of God, they are not that much different as you look at them from the outside, from the Pharisees. All sin but one. Every sinner but one can belong to the family of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ's mother and his brothers appear at this point. And this affords Jesus additional opportunity to talk about who is it that can belong to his family. Former sinners, yes. But now, how does Jesus depict how those former sinners are now to live? Shall they go on sinning? Shall they continue to live the life that they once lived in the darkness of sin and blasphemy? Is that what Christ expects of them? Is that what is permissible in his new family? Notice verse 31 and 32. Then came his brethren, his mother, and standing without, sent unto him, calling him. The multitude said about him, and they said, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren without seek for thee. And carrying through to verse 35, he answered and said to them, Who is my mother? And who are my brothers? Who is part of my family? He looked around on them which sat about him, and he said, Behold, my mothers and my brothers. For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother, my sister, and my mother. Christ asked them the question, Who is my mother and my brother? But without waiting for them to answer, he gives the answer. Those who are in my family are people like you sitting at my feet, and people like you standing outside the door of the house that I'm in, and people that have come from far away to hear what I have to say. And people who, by God's sovereign grace, have been brought to repentance and faith. People who hear the word of God. And people, by God's grace, who wish to do the word of God. Verse 35, For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother, my sister, and mother. Those who belong to the family of God are those who desire to do God's will through the Holy Spirit's power. They are Christ's family, his mothers, his sisters, and his brothers. They were all once former sinners. But they're no longer looked at through that lens. They're looked at through the lens of family. Family who seek to honor and glorify God. God doesn't see them that way, the old way. God doesn't see them as though they were always former sinners. He sees them now through the blood of their big brother, who was shed for their sins. He sees them now through the blood of Jesus, the blood that covers a multitude of sins, the blood that forms the basis upon which we are now justified in Christ and are no longer considered unrighteous, but are considered righteous. We're no longer strangers and aliens to God's family, but now we are the children of God. And as children of God, being led by the Spirit, we are the sons of God. We've not received a spirit which cries again, a spirit of bondage again to fear, but we receive the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We do know others who are children of God by their testimony to Christ in word and by their witness to Christ in deed. Do you ever go into a completely strange situation and feel a sense of such and such a person who's nearby is a believer simply by observing the way they live? The way they act? Have you ever had that experience? Are you, at least you wonder, is this person a believer? There's a certain demeanor, a certain way in which a faithful Christian carries themselves that you can see it. It's not them, it's what God's Spirit is doing in their life, and you recognize it because hopefully it's what God's Spirit's doing in your life. We know others in the family of God by their testimony to Christ in word and by their witness to Christ in deed. Christ's redeeming blood makes us sensitive to His word. And by the grace of God, we strive with all that is within us to do His will and to praise Him. Anywhere you go on the face of this earth, you can generally find brothers and sisters of like precious faith in Jesus. They are your family in Christ. They are your brothers and your sisters. I say, isn't it grand to have such a blessing? Isn't it grand to have such a father and a brother who love us enough to make the ultimate sacrifice of love for us that we might become members of their eternal family? He that sanctifieth and he that sanctifies are all of one, for which he is not ashamed to call them his brothers. Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church. I will sing praise unto thee. Welcome, those of you who believe in the Savior and have confessed your sins, confessed your blasphemies. Welcome to the family of God. Welcome to Jesus as your big brother. Welcome to the benefits of having intimate fellowship with your Creator and Redeemer and His people forever. Amen.